Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, proud presenters of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Get to BillCurryFord.com to start shopping immediately. The Ford Summer Sales event is on at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you want to start shopping. And don't forget to ask for General Manager Sean Sullivan. He will help you online, on the phone, in person, however he can. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We'll talk more about them later.
He's kind of a big Ronald Jones guy. Are you out of your mind? You know this is a topic dear to my heart. They can't keep it in their pants for one night. Don't you have any faith that the Sage can turn Brady inside out if given an opportunity? And that's a hell of a stat.
Ira, hurricane season is upon us, but it's really thunderstorm season too, and all kinds of things can happen. If the roof blows off your house, Ira, or you get a big old leak and a hole, an issue with your roof, who are you going to call?
Florida's Elite Restoration. Who else is there?
Fire, cleanup, roof tarping, leak prevention, and of course, what's their specialty, Ira?
Mold removal and mold control, and nobody does it better.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com is their website where you can go and see all of their services. This is a local family-owned company, but not too small to handle all of your needs, all of your disaster needs. Florida's Elite Restoration. The website is the same name, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Sage, I hope nothing bad happens to you, but who are you going to call if there is a problem?
You call Florida's Elite Restoration, you won't be sorry.
Buccaneers fans, NFL fans, he's the man that you love to listen to. He is the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, Uncle Ira himself, Ira Kaufman, the star of the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. This is episode 2 of This Week. Ira, we have so much to talk about today, but first, how are you managing in your exciting life?
I'm doing well, and I'm very excited because, you know, the season's around the corner, gentlemen. I mean, we're not 4 months away. We're 5 weeks away. We're so close I can smell the gumbo at the Kemper's Gumbo Shop in the heart of New Orleans. What a way for the Bucs to start against the three-time division champ, the team they have to knock off. With all due respect to the Falcons and Panthers, the kings of the NFC South, and this grand experiment, which we've talked about, you know, since Tom Brady walked out of door number 2, this grand experiment, loading up on veterans, LeSean McCoy, the latest example, all in, 2-year experiment max. We're not used to this around here. We're used to a young team. Everybody's 23. Then when they go 5-11, what do we hear? Yeah, we got a young team. Our young players are going to develop. That's all changed, gentlemen. Absolutely changed. And I can't wait for this season to start. And in the words of Bruce Arians, which I thought was one hell of a line, if we're healthy, I like our chances. That's the attitude around one Buck place. Question is, will it be healthy, Lee? Because now there's that extra layer. You know, you always had the factor of injuries. You always had it. Now you got the COVID-19 layer. And that's the one thing that Arians can't control. It's got to be driving coaches crazy. I saw Gruden's press conference the other day. He spent half the time talking about COVID. And you know Gruden doesn't want to talk about it. He thinks about it all the time. And I guarantee he's not alone. Arians is worried. He's worried for himself. And all it takes is one guy to wreck a team, Lee. And you got to keep your fingers crossed.
And when you say that, you're quoting what Arians said. Only takes one guy to sink a ship as far as someone not following protocol. Yeah, it's got to drive football coaches wild because there's two things football coaches do not like. They would rather spend a month in hell than do these two things. One, provide information. Number two, change. Provide information or change, and they go bonkers. And let's be honest here, this COVID, it has turned not just football, but sports world upside down, and they got to be going wild. I mean, and especially a guy like Gruden. So it's going to be really, really amusing in a perverse way to see how these guys navigate it. Until or unless a vaccine comes around, or it comes down to the fittest survive, this is going to be with us. So it's learn to live with it or get out of the way, one of the two.
And Steve, don't forget, all they're doing at One Buck Place, they're stretching, they're going through conditioning, and they're going through walkthroughs. And Steve, even with that, the bare minimum of what you can do on a football field when you gather, even with that, Steve, Arians didn't like the protocols and didn't like the spacing on the field. Can you imagine what's going to happen in a couple of weeks?
Arians is still getting used to it. I don't want to dive into the protocols myself just because I'm sick of talking about the virus. Virus, virus, virus. Put on the pads and let's play football. It's going to be even for everybody. The innovators, the coaches who manage this best with their staff and their sports science teams and their analytics and all their angles that they play and their changes to play calling, those are the guys who are going to survive and thrive. I was listening yesterday on the radio, Ira, a deep discussion about how the whole approach to special teams might change, because what's going to be lacking in this training camp and in all the time that the teams have is special teams. That's what's not going to get the extra time, because that, in the scope of things, is the least important. And you also have a lot of fringe bubble players who play on special teams, and these are a lot of times rookies. And special teams is going to create an opportunity for teams who want to get into some trickery and some different looks. They might be running into a club that really hasn't practiced special teams very much. And the point was made that preseason is a big, big time for special teams to run live. And, you know, so there's a lot to work on. It's a lot of change, like Lee said. Coaches don't like it, but no excuses, none.
You know, Lee, when Steve was talking about special teams might be a casualty of this coronavirus, Lee, I can just see Buck fans cringing, absolutely cringing. And you've heard me make this point, Lee. It's worth making again. Look, the Saints do certain things better than the Bucks, maybe a lot of things better than the Bucks, and one of them is special teams. The Saints have few peers among the 32 teams. You know, my boy Rick Goslin does that yearly review. Mm-hmm. And he looks at every freaking aspect of special teams. And the Saints are always in the top three in the league. Always. This year, I believe they were number one in 2019.
Where did the Bucs rank, Ira, in 2019?
I believe they might have been at the bottom, Steve.
They were. And your buddy Goslin was on radio this week talking about how the evolution of his special teams breakdown, and he talked about how it grew into what it is today.
I'm going off track here, but only for a minute. Buck fans have heard me on this podcast talk about this guy, Rick Goslin. He was a longtime writer for the Dallas Morning News. He's a longtime member of as a selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And when I started out in United Press in 1976 in New York, Rick Goslin was on the staff. And a year or two later, he left for Kansas City. And he really made his name by getting close to a lot of these assistant coaches that ended up being head coaches, guys like Bill Cowher, Tony Dungy, guys like that. He's formed a close relationship with them. And then when they got the top jobs, he had tremendous access. And he's a draft guru. I don't have to say any more, Lee, than he used to get calls from Belichick a few days before the draft just to check Belichick's list against his. I mean, it doesn't get any. It doesn't get any better than that.
It was Goslin and Joel Bushbaum.
Absolutely. And, Lee, getting back to the special teams thing, if what Steve says is true, and I think Steve's on point here with the reduced and no OTAs and no preseason, you know, special teams is getting squeezed a little bit. I think that's very bad news for the Bucs in this chase for the division title. Never mind trying to break a 12-year playoff drought. Steve said, if you win your division, you got a lot better chance to go far in the playoffs. Very true. That's what history shows us. If they want to unseat the Saints, Lee, they got a long way to go in terms of special teams. The Saints have a great punter. The Saints have a great kicker. The Saints have Taysom Hill. You talk about the gadget plays. The guy's fantastic. That's why he's making all that money, and he's on the field 20% of the time. Lee, the Bucs don't have anybody like that. They got a kicker we don't know about. The punter was average last year. He was good on kickoffs, but he wasn't that great on punts. And the return game, Lee, is abysmal. They got a long way to go there, Lee, in that regard.
Before I get rolling here, about Goslin, I remember when he was the Chiefs beat reporter. I was working out in Missouri. I think I did one or two Chiefs games. I was Royals beat writer. And, man, Goslin was so good, covering the Chiefs. He was so good. And that was back when Dungy was an assistant. Yep. As far as special teams, when you mention special teams and the Bucks in the same sentence, what position will every Bucks fan immediately think of? Not the
kicker.
Punter. It's not kicker. That's the first thing they talk about. Matt Gay didn't exactly establish himself as a soon-to-be Pro Bowl kicker last year, especially the way he ended it. And everybody talks about Jameis, how he ended his season. It was bad, so it was Gay's. Until further notice, the Bucks kicking game, when I say kicking, I'm talking place kicking, is lousy. And it's been that way for way too long. I mean, sometimes you have to wonder if a blind person can pick a better kicker. Because if the Bucks have proven anything over the past 6 years or so, it's that they don't know what a kicker is, or whatever their standard is for kicking, it's garbage. You know. So, and right when you said special teams, I have to admit, the very first thing I thought of when Steve mentioned special teams, Matt Gay.
We've been downplaying this thing about the South end zone because it comes up, and I've been downplaying it. I, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been saying it's a nice excuse. And but Steve, didn't Arian say last week that he wants Gay out there three times a week at Ray J kicking in the South end zone? I mean, as far as this franchise is concerned, Arian's Light, the special teams coach, they're taking this thing very seriously. This Hex. Am I missing the boat on something here, Steven?
Ira, don't the Glazers have enough money to just basically pick up the stadium and give it a quarter turn so the south end zone becomes the west end zone?
Well, the Kemper's got the best line. You know, the visiting kickers don't seem to have a problem. I mean, how do you get around that?
Yeah, I remember Dirk Cutter was talking about the south end zone, and he said that the NFL had studies, and he saw the results. They had studies that was allegedly one of the worst areas the NFL kicked. There was some wind current or something like that. I don't know. But I remember Cutter talking about that. So it's not like Arians pulled this out of the thin blue sky. However, if I was Arians, I would tell the kicking coach and I would tell Matt Gay, you freaking go out there every day. I don't want to see your face. You're going to kick till your leg falls off. You're going to kick in that south end zone. You know, it drives me nuts that dome kickers come in. Dome kickers. And they kick better in the south end zone than Matt Gay. You know, I don't even want to see your face unless it's a team meeting. You stay out at the stadium, you and the coach, and that's all you do is kick in that south end zone. Ridiculous.
You know, Steve, they want Matt Gay to be the kicker in 2020. And by they, I mean everybody in the organization, led by Jason Light. I mean, the guy who drafted the guy is rooting the hardest for him. And Arians wants him to be the kicker. But, Steve, having said that, I want some serious competition in training camp. And if Gay gets outplayed, outkicked in camp, there's no preseason games. If he gets outkicked, Steve, I want him to lose his job. How do you like that?
Well, we've talked about Gay, and you're not going to get that competition at this point. They've got a guy in there, and we'll see what happens. But with no preseason games, you're not going to put this this AAF kicker out there without seeing him under any pressure. So Gay's the guy, and we're just going to have to live with it for now because there's always a good kicker or two, or at least a qualified kicker, on the street. Ira, you mentioned...
Oh, really? Apparently the Bucks can't find the guy. What street is he working on?
Well, you know, that sort of reminds me here, Ira. You know, you said that Bill Belichick would call Rick Goslin for some advice before the draft. Did Jason Light call Roy Cummings before he drafted a running back? Is that how it would go? He'd call him 2 days before?
I think he ran Aguayo past him, and then he pulled the lever. That's all you need
to
know.
There you go, and then they folded the Tribune. The Bucks fans couldn't take it anymore. Sage, I got something to tell you here. Listen, if I told you that Bill Curry Ford was having a 2019 extraordinary model blowout sale with prices that are just mind-boggling to get these things off the lot, new vehicles.
You know, Steve, I'm glad you brought that up because, look, there aren't that many 2019 vehicles still on Sean Sullivan's lot a mile north of the stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry. But there are some, and it's incumbent on Bill Curry Ford to do the churn, you know, just like NFL teams do the churn, so do car dealerships. But the thing that I think our listeners have to remember is, Steve, these 2019 cars, they all have warranties that are ironclad. They're strong. You might get one heck of a price slash from a 2019. So take advantage of that, Steve. Go in there, discuss it with Sean Sullivan, and don't be put off by a sticker that says 2019.
The website is BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. You can start shopping there right now. Get a look. They'll even deliver the car out to you. If you don't want to go in a car showroom, they'll bring it out to you to test drive. You can buy it. They'll handle everything. You don't have to step foot in the dealership. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you get started. And, of course, they have a nationwide lifetime warranty, Ira, on new and pre-owned vehicles. So you never have to worry about that. Bill Curry Ford, our great friends that produce all of your work at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, LeSean McCoy faced the media the other day. And I can't wait to ask you about this, Ira, because LeSean McCoy said that the Bucks always had the interest. It was always there. He was, you know, talking to the Eagles, and then it all kind of happened. So, Ira, what is this? What do we learn from this?
Steve, when you heard that on that Zoom call, I had a vision of you like a sand crab churning up the sand. Because you think you struck gold, and I think you even asked a follow-up question. You tried to get even a little more out of McCoy, try to, you know, get a date and a month and a day when they first contacted your agent and this and that. Lee, you know what this goes to? You know what it goes to? And we don't like to beat our drum too much on this podcast, but sometimes we know what we're talking about, DeKemper, once in a while. And why do I say that? Because we were talking about Devonta Freeman, veteran running backs, somebody who can catch the ball. And by the way, Arian said LeSean is a heck of a pass catcher. Couldn't stop talking about his hands and ability to beat a linebacker and find an open spot and his possibilities of him on a screen pass. All the kind of things we've been saying. And it turns out, guess what? It wasn't Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, going into a protocol that suddenly sprung Jason Light into action to make a call to Drew Rosenhaus. They've had interest in McCoy for quite a while. Lee, no surprise, the Bucks were interested in a veteran running back, particularly one that could catch passes out of the backfield. We've been talking about this for four damn months, DeKemper.
Yeah, I said, even before last season was over with, I said, they need to draft a running back and sign a veteran. I've been beating that drum till I had blisters on my hand. And that's what they did. Thank goodness. You know, they drafted this Kareem Vaughn in the third round, and they went and got Shady. So, you know, props to Jason Light. You know, I was screaming about that for months, probably before Christmas. And thank goodness it happened. I'm glad to hear that. And I got Ira while I'm thinking about this. The other day on NFL Network, one of their quote-unquote reporters was saying the Bucks and Shaq Barrett, i.e. Rosenhaus, was trying to get a long-term deal done. They just couldn't do it because of the corona. And they kept emphasizing, the reporter kept emphasizing, well, they might have had a deal done, but the corona got in the way. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Did they somehow lose phone reception? Did they lose an ability to text? Did they not have email? What does the coronavirus have to do with the damn contract? I don't get that.
DeKemper, you are right on, DeKemper. They call it a red herring. It's a red herring. It doesn't have anything to do with it. And if they wanted to sign Barrett to a four-year deal and they made him a lucrative offer, he would have signed it. And I'm not faulting the Bucks. Steve, I'm not faulting the Bucks' stance on this. There's no long track record from Shaq Barrett. Now, I think the Broncos look like a bunch of clowns letting him go when he could have been on the opposite side of Von Miller, and they would have had one hell of a pass rush in 2019. I mean, if he did this without Von Miller, what would he have done with Von Miller on the other side? The Broncos look really bad, I think, in this Shaq Barrett free agent situation. They didn't know what they had. They made him a part-time player. He was lucky to get on the field. And he never got into a rhythm. Shame on them. You know, the Bucks benefit from their blindness. And I don't blame the Bucks for not giving them a long-term deal. However, if Shaq Barrett performs like I think he will, and I gave him a nice big fat 12-sack number the other day, and you know what? He didn't take it, and I like it. I like the fact he didn't take it. In fact, he made a joke about it. Well, 12 sacks, they must have canceled the season, three-quarters of the way. That's a tremendous line by Shaq Barrett.
Yeah.
And it shows the confidence he's got in himself. Steve, I'd be surprised if Barrett is a one-year wonder. I've been watching films of him for a year now, and I just watched, that Von Miller, in the NFL Top 100, and he was like in the 40s maybe, which I think is too shabby. I think Von Miller belongs in the 20s. And I saw these films of Von Miller going around the end and how small he makes himself. Damn, I think Shaq Barrett's the same way. He's got this crazy, crazy ability to get under that tackle, and they can't get him. And he's still moving while he's almost crawling on the ground. I mean, it's a fantastic thing to watch. You can't teach it. He's got it. And I think he's going to show it again in the fall.
Well, I must be in the minority here, Ira. I know that I am. I'll hit a couple of points. First, if we don't know what Shaq was asking for. So if he wanted to be paid as like the highest paid edge rusher in the NFL, I could totally see the Bucs saying, hey, look, salary cap's going down next year. Who knows what's going on next? We can't make a deal like this.
Right.
So I get the coronavirus end of it because, assuming Shaq was asking for a lot of money, and obviously he wanted more money than the $16 million he's going to earn under the franchise tag. And as far as the Broncos, you know what, Ira? They got rid of Shaq. They still managed a top 10 defense. They got Bradley Chubb coming back. They got Von Miller. And, sure, they could have kept Shaq, but if they weren't going to play him, you know, they still managed a better defense than the Bucs, is my point. So I can't knock Denver too much, Ira.
They misdiagnosed their own player, Lee. That's on the coaches. That's on the Denver coaches.
That never happens around here, does it, Ira?
No, never. Ira, LeSean McCoy had some other things to say. One thing that was interesting, he talked about the whispering behind the scenes that, they're watching Tom Brady throw. And just his first day, this was LeSean McCoy's first day on the field. And he said he's hearing guys saying, man, look at Brady. How long do you think he can play? Look at this guy. Looks amazing. And LeSean McCoy said he even caught himself thinking, wow, if Brady can do this, how long can I play? And that whole whisper factor, Ira, is there's something there to that. I get the feeling, maybe you guys don't, I get the feeling that Brady's impressing them more than they even thought or we thought.
On that topic, Brady's been in town since mid-March, and we've all been trying to break down the effects, what impact he's going to have on other players. Lee, during my talk with Ron Jaworski the other day, he weighed in on Brady, but I think he summed it up about as well as anybody has. He said he's one of those guys that changes the weather. That's a hell of a line, Lee.
Yeah.
And even veteran players, and I don't think it was just the wide-eyed rookies that has been whispering about Brady. I think it's the veteran players. If Marpet's out there, it could be Marpet. I think it could be Mike Evans. What about this guy, Brady? What about – he's just one of those guys, Lee. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him right now, no matter what Cam Jordan says, that he might be the number two and that Breeze is number one. We're not buying it, and Buck Nation's not buying that, Lee. And Breeze has one ring, and this guy's got six, and he was in three other games that they lost by narrow margins. No knock on Brady in that regard. So
he changes the weather. And I think he's going to change the Buck fortunes at the same time.
You and Brady have something in common, Ira.
Oh, I like where you're going here, Lee.
Yeah,
like
it may not be the wealth of your wife.
Beautiful wife, maybe a beautiful wife, that could be it.
Yeah, that's possible, but here's the similarities. Now, you just said as innocently and easily and flippantly, I want to talk to Ron Jaworski. Here's the life you live, Ira. You got Ron Jaworski calling you out of the blue for no reason at all. Well, there was a reason, but he calls you out of the blue. You got Fran Tarkenton. He calls you out of the blue. Jimmy Giles. He calls you out of the blue. You have all these heavy hitters from years past, and they just call you. That's the kind of life you have, Ira. They just call
it
you.
It is. It is. And in contrast, you know, Steve Isbitt can't get a call from Rock Riley. I mean, it puts it all in perspective.
So why do they call you Ira? It's called street cred. And that, I think, is part of what is going on with Brady and the Bucks. Street cred. He's got all these rings. And he comes in, everybody, I don't think it's a stretch to say that the Bucks knew, the players knew, before they ever met him, that Brady has high standards, if not exacting standards. That woke these guys up. I think that got their attention.
Well, Ira, street cred is something you specialize in. And one reason is that because you drink Big Storm beer, Florida's best craft beer. You drink the Bromosa, you drink the Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, you inhale their A-plus food. Of course, that's only available at the tap rooms in Odessa and in Clearwater on 49th Street right by the jail, which you frequent. And Ira, Big Storm beer is available across Florida, in many other states. Anybody can find the beer near them at our website, joebucksfan.com. See the big beer can, click on that, put in your zip code, you can find out where to buy Big Storm beer. They deliver around the Clearwater area and in Pasco County. Big Storm, we love them, we appreciate their support. I'm going to get you some food. We got to get you some food, Ira. We got to tell the listeners. Now, we edited this part out because you broke away from the podcast because someone rang your doorbell. And I was floored, Ira. Why does a man of your stature open the door for a complete stranger who rings his bell at 2 in the afternoon?
I'm a man of the people. That's why. I turn my back on no one. We're all equals in the Sage's universe. Now, the guy wanted to sell me on a power window. Then he told me how much it would cost, and I slammed the door in his face.
By admitting this, what I'm going to say, I know we have intelligent listeners. I'm going to give someone a business idea. I know there's a website out there. It's called Buy a Cup of Coffee. You could buy someone a cup of coffee. I don't know how it works, but outside the fact you got to pay a website, and I guess it goes to an account at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or what have you. We got to get some kind of account with Big Storm. It's like buying Ira or Ruben. So your fans, your listeners, can go to this website, Buy Ira or Ruben or whatever it is, and there'll be an account at Big Storm. And you walk into Big Storm, say, I want a Ruben, and it would be taken care of for you. There'll be an account with a stash of money.
Steve, it has taken very little time for Big Storm Brewery to become one of my favorite stops. I went to lunch with the Kemper at the Odessa location a couple weeks ago. Lee and I might sit down this Friday. I had a Cuban. I may switch back to the Reuben, may try something else on the menu. I believe at this point Lee is strictly a Cuban man, so I'll try to get him to experiment a little bit. But
Ira, we have to get a little serious. The rookie, Tyler Johnson, is injured. He has not been working out, not been practicing. Bruce Arians said that they're just taking it a little bit at a time, and he's missing time. Now, this is not good for a lot of folks who had him penciled in as a number three receiver. Factor in all the missing time, and now this, the guy's way behind, and Brady hasn't even thrown balls to him because, to the best of my knowledge, Johnson wasn't out there at these Tampa workouts. Bruce Arians did add that Scotty Miller is 10 pounds heavier, and that Justin Watson looks as fast, faster than he's ever looked, and he finished strong last year. Your thoughts?
You know, according to Arians and what his body language, I believe he described it as minor, Lee. He described it as minor. But at this point, I don't think you can call it minor. He's missing time in an off season unlike any other, and an off season that's so compressed that time is of the essence. Lee, let's say he's out 10 days, which is giving him the benefit of the doubt, perhaps. That's 10 days that he's behind, and now the season's less than a month away, and he's trying to beat out these other guys as the number three receiver on this football team. And I think Arians likes some of these young receivers that he's got. So, look, Johnson wasn't guaranteed of anything as a fifth-round draft pick, Lee. I'm high on him. I think he's an excellent route runner with some good hands. And I think there's an opportunity to, get a prominent role on this football team. But the news today, from Arians that, he's taken a step backwards with an unspecified injury. that doesn't bode well for Tyler Johnson going forward, Lee.
No, it doesn't, but the way Arians talked him up and the way all these draft gurus think that the Bucs got a complete and total steal, I'd be shocked unless he was really horrible. I mean really horrible, that he wouldn't make the team in some way, even if that meant practice squad. I find that difficult to believe. If it was someone Arians didn't talk up and people thought the guy was nondescript as a as an NFL prospect, that'd be a different story. But I just think that these guys were crowing so much about Tyler Johnson, both on and off the record. And like I said, the draft guru saw such a steal. I'd really be surprised if he doesn't make the team in some way. If maybe Arians, you know, I don't think Arians is beneath this. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Arians was a little frustrated with the, you know, you got to get on the field. And he, you know, said this to the press, knowing full well that there were going to be all kinds of stories written about it. I think he did that with
Scotty Miller
a couple times last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did that with Scotty Miller. And I think it's important to note, we can't forget, you know, Arians did draft Scotty Miller. That means something.
Steve, is it a stretch to suggest that without knowing the specifics of Johnson's, you know, injury, is it a stretch to suggest that he could have been one of the guys that Arian said some of the young guys came in out of shape? Is that a stretch to suggest that's part of the problem?
Well, that would be pure speculation. There's no way to know whatsoever. I'm assuming he passed a physical, but we just don't know. I mean, I hate to even speculate. You know, for all we know, the guy, twisted his ankle doing something benign. You know, who knows?
But Arians did say, Steve, that some young players were not in shape. He did say that.
Yeah, I think that sort of goes to what Lee said, which is, you know, his way of poking them in the public eye.
Yeah.
Remember, Arians, he was very vocal when they drafted him, that he watched his last game at the Outback Bowl. And he was with his son, he being Arians, and Arians turned to his son, we got to get this guy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Jason Light makes all the decisions down at $1. Wait a minute.
Next subject, Steve.
Sage. You know, Arians talked a lot about the virus and changes to the team. The one thing I thought was interesting is that he basically said when they travel, they will be sequestered in their hotel. He said, quote, no restaurants are going out. And that's a bit of a change, a big time for players, because usually they arrive in whatever city they're going to, and at some point, they've got 4 or 5 hours to play with, to see some sights, have dinner, meet up with a friend on the visiting team, maybe they got some family, or they just go out, or my favorite was once, I forget what city I was in, I saw Akeem Spence walking over to CVS through my hotel window. And then he's walking back to the hotel with like a bag full of candy that would rival a Halloween haul. But you know, these guys aren't used to just getting locked down in a hotel, and that's just a road game kind of change.
All right, I'm going to sound a little bit like Isbits on this one, DeKemper. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind, Isbits? You're making this sound like an ultimate sacrifice. What are they doing? Giving up their oldest child? Lee, they're in the freaking place for 28 hours. Don't go out that night. Is that too much to ask? Stay in your hotel room. Order the food that the Bucks are suggesting. This is a freaking business trip. You're getting well paid. You're staying one night. You're getting in at 4:30 in the afternoon. By the next morning, you're having your breakfast and you're getting ready to go to the stadium and you never get back to the hotel again. Suck it up, gentlemen. Suck it up. Isbeth's making it sound like some kind of great sacrifice.
You know there's going to be some knucklehead. It's just, if it's happened in the NBA, and I guess it's happened in baseball, because a couple teams got the virus.
It better not happen in Vegas, Lee. Better not happen in Vegas.
I'm assuming they're going to have dinners catered for them in whatever hotel they're going to be sequestered in. But I can't help but... To cite what happened, I can't remember what NBA bubble it was. Some guy said he had to go to a funeral, and he wound up at a strip club. You know, we all, grieve in different ways. we all grieve in different ways. I guess some people, the only way they can grieve properly is they get a lap dance.
They can't keep it in their pants for one night.
Ira,
one night, Steve.
You know, I got a huge bone to pick with you here. Come on, Ira. I didn't say that. Bruce Arians, the one who emphasized no restaurants, no going out. I don't think it's a hardship, but the reality is, if you're stuck in a hotel room, okay, let's say you're 6'5", 265, Ira. You're stuck in a normal-sized hotel room with a roommate who maybe you like, maybe you don't, and you're told not to go freaking anywhere, and especially don't get in the elevator that everyone in the hotel is sharing, and all you can do is go to a little walkthrough in the ballroom downstairs and eat the team food. For some of these guys, it's going to drive them insane. I'm sorry, it is, Ira. You know what? Imagine if I told you you had to sequester with me at a road game for 22 hours. You'd be pulling your freaking hair out.
You know, Lee, I think the Bucks are taking this thing so seriously, and I mean that in a good way. I bet you they have designated elevators at the hotel, Lee, for the players and the staff.
Oh, yeah. They do that already in some cases. You know, I can't tell you the weird stuff that I've seen. When I stayed at the visiting hotels, I'd say that same. Generally, they have the media set up if you want to take advantage of it. They have the media set up in the same hotel. And I've seen some really wild stuff. Like, I've seen security guards at elevators. Like, if you have to get off at the wrong floor, you stay on the elevator. The elevator opens up, and there's a dude, there's no question he's security. And he's like, let me see your card, your elevator card. I saw that once. And I've seen all kinds of really bizarre security things. They basically make sure a couple things. One, the players are safe. Two, shall we say, business women don't sneak up there. So, and by the way, I agree with what Steve is saying, but you know how to get these guys, from not going crazy, being cooped up in a bedroom? You have team meetings. You have positional meetings.
That's
you
right.
Go over stuff with your coaches. If they're busy, if they're occupied with something, then their mind, they won't notice that they're in a hotel for 20-some hours.
Or and it's a perfect time to catch up on some Joe Bucks fan podcasts. Now, I cannot shake this image of Isbeth standing at a hotel window, pair of binoculars in his hands, and focused on a local CVS and watching the whereabouts of one Akeem Spence. I can't shake that image, Stephen.
All right, Ira, you're being a wise guy. Not appreciated.
Steve, how do you know he had candy in that bag? How do you know that?
Because I was on like the second or third floor. I didn't need binoculars, and I saw it. He was eating candy, and I saw in his bag. I mean, everybody knows the trademark Reese's Peanut Butter Cup wrapper.
Orange.
Okay? Everybody knows that orange. Now, maybe he was buying them for the defensive line. Maybe it was some sort of, he was the guy in charge, but it was quite a sight. It was Halloween for Akeem Spence. All right, Ira. Now, one thing that Bruce Arians said that is very important, I'm glad we saved it toward the end, but you know what? I'm going to save that nugget. I'll go to one other one, Ira. And I wanted to know if you happened to spit up your Cuban when you heard him say this initially. Bruce Arians said, "We're a pretty solid screen team." And then he went on to say that includes wide receiver screens. He said that, which I agreed with. Chris Godwin is excellent, he said. Everybody else he said was okay, including Peyton Barber, which I thought was funny. And he went on to say, quote, "To me, they're really running plays."
Steve, you know this is a topic dear to my heart. I think the screen, well executed, is absolutely devastating. I do. I think it puts a seed of doubt in the pass rusher's minds. It's a play that requires a lot of timing and a lot of practice. And the Bucks don't have a lot of time to perfect the play. But Brady's very good at it. I think McCoy will be a factor in it. And, Lee, just the fact that, Arian says they were a pretty good screen team. Yeah, I agree with the Godwin part because, Lee, Godwin's knack for yards after catch, it's well documented. I believe he was second in the league last season among wide receivers. And that's a hell of a stat for Chris Godwin, a young player who may not even reach his potential yet. I think McCoy is going to be dangerous on that screen pass. But here's my memo to LeSean McCoy. Protect the football, LM. Protect it. Otherwise, you ain't going to get a lot of shots with Mr. Brady. He's not above chewing your ass out if you hold it like a loaf of bread, which you've been shown to do. And you fell into Andy Reid's doghouse for a reason. Don't do it here. But I'm looking for the screen pass to become a prevalent play in this playbook for this franchise. Lee, I think it's been gone, by and large, for about 5 years. And I really don't know why.
People are going to get mad when I give you your answer why. Doug Martin. Doug Martin was not a good pass catcher. He just wasn't.
Well, Carter used it very well with Sims and
with
a little
Sims,
bit.
With Sims, not with Doug Martin.
Yeah. Steve, maybe they haven't had the personnel to pull it off. Maybe. But I understand the bubble screen to a wide receiver. But I'm talking about Brady going back, inviting those pass rushers in, and then at the opportune moment, dumping that ball off to McCoy in an open field. He could be very effective.
I hear you, Ira. I just had to bring that up when I heard it. I had to ask you. And it also could be potentially a small factor. Could be that maybe that wasn't a play that Jameis Winston liked to check to. As opposed to Tom Brady might take that option far more often than any other quarterback. Another thing which was important news, Bruce Arians, quote, Rojo's the main guy. He'll carry the load. All those other guys are fighting for roles.
Not surprised, Steve. Not surprised at all. I said McCoy was going to be a role player. Vaughn might be a role player. Calais, if he makes the team, be a role player. You know, we agree or not, Arians has been very consistent about since, I would say, the midpoint of last season. He's kind of a big Ronald Jones guy, Lee. Now, I'm not sure that he thinks of Jones as a third down back, but he's going to get the bulk of the carries, Lee. I don't think there's any question. He could get 15 and McCoy could get 5 and sprinkle in a couple of other ones. But he's going to be the main back, and I think Arians likes the way Jones works. He wants to be very good. He's not there yet, but he seems to be dedicated, and Arians respects that. And as a result, he's going to give Jones every chance to succeed, Lee.
Well, I think Arians likes the fact that Rojo was driven by what, I don't know, pride, money, who knows. He was driven to improve. Maybe he himself thought, uh-oh, I may have wasted an NFL opportunity here. You know, I played all my life or worked all my life, and here I am, and I had these lousy stats, and, you know, I better get my head out of my derriere and do something. But Arians made a point to mention how he made such a dramatic, but didn't he use the word dramatic? He said, at least the advancement he's made from last year, April, until the end of the season. And then he praised him for working out with Brady, which improved his hands. And then you go back to Brady. You know, you're talking about all these guys whispering about Brady. Well, there's an example probably right there of Brady rubbing off on, you know, in a good way on someone like Ronald Jones.
You know, Steve, if Jones turns out to be a really solid all-around back, that'd be a hell of a testament to Ronald Jones and the Buck coaches, to be fair. We always knock them for, struggling to develop young players. This would be a classic example of the opposite. Steve, the guy averaged less than 2 yards a carry, almost impossible if you're trying, almost impossible. And, guys, you got to remember, that's what Arians had to work with when he joined the Bucs. He was looking at a 1.9 average guy. That's what he's looking at. And if Jones had a lousy year in 2019, he'd have no chance to make this team in 2020. He'd be gone.
Earlier this week, I've been threatening to do it, and I finally did it. I went to Pro Football Reference, and I did running backs this century. Running backs this century that ran for 50 yards or less their rookie year. Jones had 49, by the way. Rookie running backs who ran for 50 yards or less their rookie years. It's a brutal list. I think the only guy on there outside of Rojo that you would recognize his name that did anything was C.J. Anderson. And it's not exactly like he was Gale Sayers, to use a cutter line.
And Lee, not a lot of them would have been first or second rounders. Not a lot of them.
True.
Not a lot of them.
Yeah, I believe C.J. Anderson was undrafted. But look, Ira, we'll just close the Rojo here. There's a reason, while we're all rooting for Rojo to succeed, There's a reason that the Bucs drafted running back in the third round. There's a reason that they were hunting a veteran. And there's a reason, and they got him. And there's a reason Bruce Arians said in March that third down is not for Rojo anymore. So he's got an opportunity here to prove himself as the first and second down back. I think he can do that. And you know what? That would be enough at this point if they have the other elements to handle third down.
I'm with you, Steve.
Sage, we want to remind everyone that they can subscribe to the podcast at Podbean, Apple Podcasts, the new Google Podcast platform. We're still at Google Play until that gets eliminated shortly by the big boys at Google. And I know we talked about this, and you don't think there's anything to it, but I did a little research since our last podcast, and you know what? A division rival in the NFC South has already granted media four times the access to these conditioning sessions than the Bucs media has received. Other teams are at even more than four times the access, and other quarterbacks have spoken multiple times. It's an interesting calculated move by the Buccaneers to limit access. Not saying they're not giving access, but to really limit it like they have. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, Ira. You would think that Team Glazer would say, we want to put the foot on the gas of the hype train, but that's not the case.
Well, Lee, 2 points I'll offer in terms of the Zoom meetings. The Bucs have done a capable job of making players and Arians available. Part two, and Lee, you've said this many times, and you're right every time you say it. And Martin, I think Martin Fennelly, the great columnist with the Tribune, used to tell all of us at the Tribune this all the time. You can't write about the stars often enough. You can't. The stars. And Lee, in terms of the Zoom meetings, and I hope the Bucs are listening to this podcast, we want Brady, and we want him as much as we can get him. You can give us Cameron Brait when you want to give us Cameron Brait. We want Brady, and we make no bones about it. And I don't care if he's not the greatest interview in the world, and I don't care if it took the great Howard Stern 45 minutes to break him down so he'd say a couple of provocative things. We don't care. We want Tom Brady. And it's not like we're making this up out of the air. The Bucs' whole offseason marketing campaign is built around number 12, and rightfully so. And he's the leader. He changes the weather. And, Lee, if he changes the weather, can't we take his temperature a little bit, Lee?
Here is the way I look at it. I don't need anyone. I don't care who it is. I don't need anyone to ramble for 30 minutes and say 30 seconds worth of material for me to write about him. So I'm not going to waste my time. That's why I, halfway through the season when Lovey was here, I gave up going to his press conferences because he said nothing or it was a misdirection. And I just got tired of that. Josh McCown was awful, just awful. He'd talk, oh my gosh, he'd talk your ear off. And like my old man used to say, he talked a lot and said nothing. And that's pretty much what Josh McCown did. And if Brady gets the Bella cheat out of him and gives me substance, then I say bring him on. Otherwise, I don't care. You know, I'd rather talk to Ailey Marpet or Brait or Devin White or someone like that. Or you know who's an underrated quote? Who every time I've spoken with him, he's given me solid stuff. Carlton Davis. He's always given me solid information. Always cooperated. Good guy. I'd rather talk to a guy once a month if what he gave me was quality, then a guy being available twice a week can give me nothing.
Don't you have any faith that the Sage can turn Brady inside out if given an opportunity?
That's fair. You're right, Ira.
Ira, I hear you. I hear you. The only thing of course, Sage, of course. I don't know what you mean by the Bucs have done a capable job of making people available. I mean, what the hell's going on? I just don't get it, Ira. This team has a marketing department. They actually invest trying to market the team. You would think, and I know media relations isn't marketing, but they've got people there. It's like, come on, have we talked to JPP? The guy re-signed a big fat contract. No, he hasn't been available. Has Ndamukong Suh been out there since he re-signed? I don't recall. Joe Haig, new free agent, where everybody's excited. I haven't talked to the guy. I haven't seen the guy. I don't buy it, Ira. I don't buy it.
Calm down, Steve. And Don McConsue was on Instagram often talking about his margaritas, and KBB was rambling every other day about, hell, I don't know what he's rambling about. He's rambling about something.
Steve, I'm going to make your day. My inside information from one buck place from the Inner Sanctum is that Joe Haig is on the way. Is Betsy. He's on the way.
And where's Team Glazer? They got out of the owners' meetings this year. They didn't have to talk. Where are they? He assigned Tom Brady. These guys are in a bunker. It's unbelievable. All right, Ira.
Take care. All right, baby.
We're going to get out of here. Say goodbye to the great Bucks fans as we march toward opening day.
5 weeks, guys. It's going to be here before you know it. I mean, 5 weeks ago, we were in the late stages of June. And that seems like yesterday. That's how quick the season is going to be upon us. Opting out does not seem to be an issue for this franchise. That is a plus. So far, so good, relatively speaking, on the coronavirus issue. So things are looking up. And in the words of Arians, if we stay healthy, I like our chances. Well said, Coach. Well said.